Welcome back. The 2020 50th Annual Bassmaster Classic. This is Bass University, and we are live from the event. I am Pat Renwick, Pete Glusick, the Dean, and we bring you today, again, for the second year in a row, I believe, Bass and Gal Kayak Champ, Christine Fisher. Yeah. All right. Welcome back to Bass U, Christine.
Thank you, guys. It's awesome to be back on the show.
It's good to have you.
Thank you.
You've been making some waves in that kayak, haven't you?
You could say that.
I see that.
Yeah,
I see. That's awesome. You've been doing pretty good. You come off a pretty major victory right here, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. Last year was pretty much catapulted my career. I've been consistent all the years in the National Trail, but I won three big ones last year. Just cashed a check in the first BASS kayak open that was on Logan Martin on Thursday.
Outstanding.
So, gosh, that felt good.
That is outstanding.
Yeah,
when we met you, you were coming on and doing real well, and I think it was the luck that we brought by interviewing you that you went on to win three big tournaments last year.
Gosh, I guess I owe you guys a percentage of my winnings
technically. You know,
is that how that works?
We'll take some spinner baits.
Okay,
we're easy. But that was amazing. You won on Kentucky Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Where were the other wins?
I won Kentucky Lake. I won Chickamauga, and I won a regional championship on Pickwick. So Tennessee River
You're
System
a Tennessee
is kind
River
of
girl.
Yeah, look at you,
yeah,
man! Oh man,
that's awesome.
Those are big bodies of water.
Huge. Yeah.
You know, it's when I think of those bodies of water out of a bass boat, it's an immense undertaking to try to cover the water to be competitive. In a kayak, give us some advice. How do you do that in a kayak?
Boy, you guys. So let me give you just a quick little insight to like the day before my practice starts. I do a ton of map study. I mean, a ton. I'm scouring Google Earth because, as you know, like I can't run spots.
Right.
When I'm looking at an area, I spend so much time breaking down water. I need to have a lot of diversity in an area. I feel like I'm pretty good at finding fish, but if that plan is fishermen, we know sometimes that doesn't work out. So I need to have my plan B, C, D within reach.
That's the diversity.
Especially,
right?
Especially in the
deep
kayak.
Water,
yeah.
Shallow
Absolutely.
Water.
Yeah, depending on time of year, I need to find areas that I know are going to hold fish. I need to have backup plans. I need to have transition areas. I need to have, you know, cuts with docks or something I can flip or junk fish.
Right.
The more diversity, the better for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know my strengths, though, and a lot of times I love fishing up in the rivers with those sloughs and oxbows.
Sure, yeah, oh, yeah.
I feel like I can always put something together up there.
And you can slink in a lot of places, too,
that's
in those sloughs and oxbows.
And under-pressured waters.
Sure.
I love getting places that bass boats can't get to, and this tournament I did that quite a bit on Logan Martin. So
nice.
That plays a huge role if you've got that super heavy pressured waters. I love finding, you know, what people overlook and what can't access.
Yeah, as a person who fishes out of a boat, I find that unfair.
You're right. I'll take advantage of that every time.
You know what, Pete? She don't care.
No, I don't.
Of course, John Cox just drives his boat over land to get to where the kayak guys are fishing. But you're just tearing it up. And, you know, what I'd like to get some advice from you. Like, we talked about practice. Do you invest a lot of time in practice? Is it mostly done on the computer? Pick a couple spots and go, or do you put a lot of days on the water?
I think the perfect amount of practice time is 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2.5-3 days, I feel like I can. And I really don't fish during practice. I graph. I look at areas.
You're so disciplined. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm very. You will very rarely see me making casts when I'm practicing. I do a lot of graphing.
Yeah. How are you? You're equipped with side imaging?
Yep,
or
side imaging is huge.
Yeah,
that is almost exclusively when I'm practicing. I have side imaging running. I'll usually do a tri-screen, so I've got my GPS. I've got either sonar or down, and then I've got side scan across the bottom, and I'm graphing. I'm looking at water clarity, water temperature, kind of seeing what's going on, looking for, you know, obviously forage, and I can usually tell. I'll find areas on a map I like, then I'll go and I'll graph them and I'll look at them, maybe make a couple of casts. But I think 2.5-3 days, I can cover. I usually cover 10 miles a day when I'm practicing, and I'll launch 3 or 4 different times, different ramps, and
right.
Select what I think is going to be the best. Maybe fish it a little bit, and then send up a prayer.
That's a lot of, that's a lot of water in a kayak.
Yeah.
10 miles.
That's why I'm so skinny. I can't keep any weight on me.
Which way's the weight room?
Yeah. Right.
I need to start kayaking, Pat. when you're out there practicing, what do you have a strength? Like, would you say you're a spinnerbait person or you're a power fisherman, finesse fisherman? What are your strengths?
So that's kind of funny. The very first year on the National Trail, I was an offshore fisherman 100%. I was super consistent. I think
really?
I cashed like 10 checks fishing all offshore.
Right.
Ledges, main lake points, offshore structure. That was my strength. I love fishing deep. So last year, I tried to force that deep bite in every single one of my tournaments, and I couldn't ever get it to go. And I was so frustrated because I didn't like fishing shallow.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, every single tournament and all of my success came in less than 6 foot of water.
Wow.
From early on all the way to late fall, all mm-hmm. my tournaments I fished shallow.
Well, you know what they say, that there is a whole new group of unpressured shallow fish
yes.
because everybody's deep yeah. now because of electronics.
Yes. Yeah,
I think you kind of tapped into that a little,
right.
didn't you?
And I feel like your active fish are shallow. And I
awesome.
Found that if you can burn water, and so power fishing's always been kind of one of my strengths, but I feel like if you find areas where the fish are, you're there at the right place, right time, you know how to make the right cast, do fish differently, you can get those shallow fish to eat.
Pete, she said power fishing is one of her strengths, and she just happened to brought nothing but power fishing baits.
I cut those off my kayak this morning because those are what cashed me and Jack on Logan Martin on Thursday.
Nice. And this is everybody, we know that no matter what, it just seems that this chatter chicken, this jackhammer, it just seems to catch fish consistently. We don't
yes,
know why.
It
it's just amazing. But here's what we're, first off, What were you fishing at Logan Martin? What was the type of cover, the scenario, the depth?
So I found some really big largemouth in practice way up north. I mean, dirt shallow, back in the sloughs, and just way up shallow. In the
shallow.
Sloughs.
And Pete, look at this chatter chicken.
It's
right
big.
Here.
Well, it's a heavyweight.
Well, I know my game plan. This was what I was fishing and pre-fishing.
Right.
My game plan changed because when I launched Thursday morning, the water came up 4 feet. And the banks of these sloughs were cut real deep, so I knew that there would be no shallow water in a lot of those. So I was forced to scrap my plan entirely, go out to the main river, and I actually floated and fished the mouths. And the spots were loaded up in the mouths of these creeks and sloughs on the downside of the current. So I put on a heavy jackhammer. I put in my reverse and sat there and let that blade just tick. I couldn't rip it. I couldn't slow roll it. I had to let it sit and let the current just work that blade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I caught my fish.
That's amazing. That makes me really happy to hear how you put that together.
Yeah, I thought when as soon as I
cool.
launched, I was like, man, I'm in big trouble. This my whole day's ruined. And I just stuck with it and junk fished a little bit and found a pattern and it worked out.
Looks like you caught a big one on the last cast because that hook is bent up.
Yeah, so I thought I had the mother. I went Ike and Nelly and I was like, yes! It was 2 minutes ago. It was a huge alligator gar.
Oh,
huge. Yeah,
that'll do that to your to your chatterbait.
Yep.
And a lot of guys out here at the Classic right now, they're really starting to shine.
Yes.
And you were fishing close in the tournament you
yep.
just competed in, Logan Martin. So this whole area is pre-spawn.
Yes, it is.
And they're hitting the shallows. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the spinnerbait you got.
So these are Accent spinnerbaits. I really like these. I actually started throwing these 2 years ago. They're recommended by a buddy of mine. And the reason I think they're different, and I just like them, they've got this really light wire.
Sure.
So they don't last, as you can tell. Like, I beat the crap out of that one. especially a smallmouth, they will tear these things up, and you can try to bend them back. But because of that light wire, I just feel like you get such better blade vibration, and I love they skip really, really well. I have a ton of confidence in these things. This is the River Special. I love a double willow blade. But in the springtime, I always like having that red.
Can't beat that.
You can. I mean, that's like a bass fishing 101.
It is.
Early springtime deal. So,
standard military issue bass fishing spinnerbait.
So I was skipping that up in the tree. You can see that head's all beat up. I was skipping it way back under the brush. And I caught some big largemouth this week in those
sloughs. She skipped spinnerbaits, Pete.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to have a trailer to skip them.
Everybody
skip
does
well.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's hard to do.
No skill.
You
know how I knew you were cool?
Uh-oh.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you how I knew
I
you
suppose,
were cool?
Yeah, that's right.
So I saw you in an Instagram post, and I think it was a chatterbait fish
mm-hmm.
that you had. And I saw that you were using a glass composite rod for your chatterbait. And I'm not trying to put a stereotype on women anglers
mm-hmm.
whatsoever. But I'm like, when I saw that, I'm like, she gets it. She gets it. She's throwing the chatter chicken. On the heavy glass rod, and she's getting it.
Yeah.
You're a real angler.
Yep. But
it's cool.
You're winning tournaments, and these aren't like female tournaments. These are kayak tournaments.
Yeah, there are some of the best sticks. And this recent Logan Martin one, we had guys that fish BFLs and Costas competing in this. Like, it's the competition is it's stacked.
Yeah.
But the money's great. So more and more people are starting to see.
Yeah,
this guy won 10 grand.
At this tournament.
And then there's 7 grand for second. I mean, the payouts are deep. We had just had a guy that won 5 national tournaments in a row. He's won like 60 grand in the last 2 months. Kayak fishing.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, not a bad little side gig.
So I know
right?
what you're doing now. Yes. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well,
yeah.
An angler that is interested in getting into kayak fishing and fishing tournaments, what kind of advice would you have somebody? Maybe somebody that's stepping out of a boat and getting into a kayak, is he wants to go down that road. What advice would you give that person?
I would definitely encourage them to do it. It's even if you still want to continue fishing in the bass boat tournament. So I just had a couple good friends of mine who are phenomenal tournament anglers in the boat. Come over to the kayak side. I'm going to tell you what, they struggled. Huh. And you know why? A lot of bass boat anglers rely on all that power they got behind them. If their fish aren't there, they're gone. And what kayak fishing forces you to do, and this is why it's good for everybody, you have to methodically break down an area. Mm-hmm. And it really teaches you how to be patient, how to wait the fish out, how to really make those good – you have to make decisions. And that, I mean, how could that not be great tools in just making you a better angler all the way around?
Yeah, that's great advice,
yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
No matter what. It definitely – I usually get forced in that situation when my motor blows up.
And, which seems to happen,
yeah,
Pete.
You got
to
make it happen where you're at. And that's kayak fishing. That's really interesting.
It is.
Now, one of the things that I as everybody, JT Kenny making an appearance, the when you're catching the fish, like setting the hook, that's got to be a different skill set out of a kayak versus standing on the deck where you can really jack them hard. Do you have to use different gear or different methods to get good hook sets to get the fish in?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of cases, especially like offshore, I do a lot of my shallow fishing standing. So it doesn't really, there's not a whole lot of differences there. But when I'm offshore and I'm trying to hold myself and make a certain cast and along a ledge, I have to sit down. And when you want to bury a hook set in like 25 foot of water, that's why if y'all watch my videos, I'm like coming up and out of my seat trying to bury a jig and a fish in 25
foot. It's like when Larry Nixon used to set with the 5.5 foot pistol.
Yeah.
Over the head.
Right.
It really is.
You've got to find
different.
A way to get pressure.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, when I switched to throwing a chatterbait on a glass rod, when I initially did that a few years ago, I actually lost a lot of fish. But I love throwing moving baits on fluorocarbon. I had to switch to braid on my glass rod with that because how parabolic that was.
Okay.
I feel like I wasn't bearing the hook set in my kayak when I was sitting down.
That was the adjustment.
Yeah.
See,
because
I lean when I'm throwing the chatterbait or a crankbait.
Yeah,
bait,
and normally like on graphite wood, I just kind of let it load up and sweep into it.
Or move backwards even, like you've seen Ike and Ellie do it many times.
Right, but you can't do that in a kayak. So throwing that with a glass rod, I throw it down straight braid, and I'm able to still kind of make a nice quick sweep, and that fish
maybe a faster reel possibly.
You know, it depends on, honestly, my reel speed depends on water temperatures a lot of the time.
Okay, you
a lot
do
of time
that.
I do a slower reel typically because I like, if I'm fishing especially deeper, I want to just be able to just keep that blade in the sweet spot.
I do the same thing because I throw the 5-to-1s early in the year a lot because I can't mentally adjust because I always want to
that. Yeah, that's me too. that's me too. So it all, that all depends
enough.
On kind of what time of year for me.
This interests me because I have a problem. I have, like, you know, gallons of storage in my boat, and every single storage compartment is filled to the top. I got to push the compartments down because I have to have, because, you know, 20 years ago on this color, certain lure, I caught a fish one time.
That man's jelly worm was good then.
And I got to make sure that's in my boat. How do you break down your tackle into a manageable size? Because you... Or do you? Do you trailer a suitcase in the back?
Kayak, it's essentially, I've got about 6 or 7 rods on either side of my kayak, so I carry like 12 to 14 rods.
Holy
the
smokes.
Front hatch, I've got all my big swim baits, a bunch of terminal stuff. I have a square hatch here with all my plastics that I know I'm using in the tournament. Yeah. I could fit like 20 bags of plastics there. Under my seat, I have 2 big Plano edge boxes filled with plastics, either creature baits, big worms, whatever 2 flukes, what I'm using for that time. Behind me, I have a huge crate, and I've got all my terminal hard bait stuff in there.
Wow.
And then I, of course, have like a random then plastic bag of stuff I just bought at the gas station that morning.
And that's what you always catch your fish on.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I have all this stuff, and it's like those couple, it's just ridiculous.
You always win out of the Walmart bag. Guaranteed.
That last minute little, like, I'm going to grab this, and this, but I think it's going to work.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I would have to have a dock that I tow, I think. I don't know if that's allowed, but I would have something, you know, a cooler back there with more tackle. I know it'd be a problem for me.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. What's coming up for you? What's your next derby?
Oh, gosh. So I have a tournament actually next weekend on Lake Norman, another, you know, spot-oriented lake up in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I'll be leaving for that on Monday, start practice probably, Tuesday or Wednesday morning.
Okay.
So
have you been there?
Never set eyes on Lake Norman.
It's not a Tennessee River lake.
No, it's not. Like, these early lakes, I wasn't super confident in any of what we had going on. Like, I'm ready for, we've got La Crosse, Chickamauga, Erie, Kentucky Lake coming up from May until, like, August. And I can't tell you guys how jacked up I am for when those tournaments come around.
Oh, I'll bet.
Wow. Erie.
I love Erie.
What part of Lake Erie?
Presque Isle.
Okay.
So that's time of May. You're going to have big smallmouth moving into spawn. It's going to be just like St. Clair. I actually almost won a tournament on St. Clair last year. I lost by a quarter of an inch. And it was same time of year, those big smallmouth. You're putting up like upper 90s inches, which is like,
Where were you at on St. Clair?
Yeah.
So I fish right in front of either they call it Peach or Pesh Island.
Okay.
That's where actually Seth Fighter whacked them.
Well, I was out there watching them that day.
I found some big fish right there. And then if you go a little bit further east, I had scattered rock. And I'd run my side scan.
That's a haul.
Oh, yeah. It's like
that's
3 miles.
That's out from the river.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that can get nasty.
Yeah, it was. It was, but the smallmouth bite was on fire.
But what do you think about? I mean, okay, so it takes you to get from, let's say, the mouth of what is that? The Detroit River
right there. Yep.
And into Canada.
Mm-hmm. It's 3 miles.
Three, four miles.
Good, yeah.
Like rough water. Like, what is going on? How are you moving around? How are you propelling? It's like, isn't it like?
Well, but you're just kicking. You know, you're kicking. You're grappling. You're looking, and your side scan's lighting up, and you're just like, I'm going to catch a 5-pound smallmouth.
That's
and
a
you're
whole
just
other
up.
World. That's a whole other planet. Pete could. Do you see you doing that?
No, I mean, that's rough water boating. I mean, we go out in 10-footers in our boats, and we bob around like corks, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do.
Right.
Well, kayak take, honestly, if you think about it, so I went muskie fishing up on St. Clair, went a little trip up there, and it was 5 to 6 foot rollers. There was one deep V-frame boat out there and myself, and that boat went in early because they were coming up and smacking the water. And if you know how to position your kayak, I was able to have the best muskie fishing of my entire life. And my kayak would roll up on the waves. It coast down. It come up. I mean, I can.
It's like a surfboard. It's just
me.
Like riding a surfboard.
Because you're not smacking down. You know, it's a. You can kind of ride the waves. And now standing up.
Yeah,
that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. But
once
I did.
You get your groove, I bet you get kind of a groove of the momentum of the waves.
Yeah, spread your legs really wide, and you're kind of like bending your knees. Okay. And just saying, all right, let's go, and hook into a big 45-inch muskie.
That's amazing.
And then it's on. It's wild.
Then it's worth it.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever had a fail? Any capsize? Any monster boat wakes come and crash you? Not.
No. I've had, now, that trip on St. Clair, I had to round a jetty to get back into the marina, and there was a cross current coming with the wind. The boat, actually, it's funny, they found me on Instagram and messaged me, and they said, we almost flipped our boat coming around that jetty. We wanted to check on you and make sure you got in okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most nervous I think I've ever been on a kayak, because it was, you have to try to keep your boat without getting perpendicular to those big rollers, and you couldn't. So I had to, like, whew, it was hairy. There were some people that are not very happy with me after that little musky outing.
Okay.
It was kind of stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't take those waves head on. You gotta quarter them.
Yeah, you have to quarter them.
Wow.
Biggest thing, you can't get parallel to them, because that's when you get caught and you can
roll.
Real quick roll over. Yeah. But it was impossible not to round in that jetty because of how the wind. It was like a 25-mile-an-hour wind.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And it was wild.
Insane.
In St. Clair.
You're,
I know.
You're
it
bold.
Was
you're bold, powerful. I like it. I love it. Well, you are a. The payouts are getting big.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard that you signed with Professional Edge Fishing.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations on that.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you, guys.
And, you know, how is the sponsorship world in kayak? Are you starting to see that go the way of what other bass fishing and other fishing?
Yeah,
is
I really
doing?
Am. Some of my good friends and great anglers out there, they're getting some really nice cash sponsorships. People are starting to see the value. You know, kayak fishing is such a huge segment in the world of fishing.
Absolutely.
And it's like the segue into the professional side of fishing. And we're getting more exposure. There's more people getting into it. And I think the large companies in the industry are starting to realize the marketing value there.
Yep.
And, you know, from my standpoint, as long as you, we love to fish. We sell just as much product. We're in communication and contact with bank fishermen and boat anglers. And I think I think we're going to see more opportunities for kayak anglers. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, I know you're going to be at the head of the pack there. Keep winning.
I'm going to do my best, I promise.
Wish you the best. Lake Norman's a great lake. You ought to have fun up there. There's fish all over from
you'll
one end
them.
To the other. You'll figure it.
You'll catch them.
I know you'll catch them. And thanks for making your annual visit down here
to
the Bass University.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me. I love being on the show.
It's our pleasure.
It's been a treat.
Well, hey, let's do that again.
Yeah.
There. good luck this year.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
I'm Pete Kluzak, Bass University TV. We'll be back with more later.